Are you troubled by stale podcasts in the middle of the night?
Do you love films that feature the busting of spooks, specters, or ghosts?
If the answer is yes, then don't wait another minute.
Ghostbusters Resurrection is an RPG audio drama combining tabletop gaming and cinematic paranormal elimination adventures.
Call the professionals at nerdyshow.com/ghostbusters.
We're ready to believe you.
Flame On is presented by the Nerdy Show Network, geeky programming for all nerds across the multiverse. All Nerdy Show programming is made possible by A Comic Shop, Orlando's number one comic shop and nerd destination, and with the generous support of listeners like you. To learn how you can support this and other fine geeky programming, visit nerdyshow.com.
Spandex makes me horny. Drag is the new spandex.
Welcome everybody to Flame On. It is another episode of Drag is the New Spandex. My name is Pat, and I am filling in as your host while Oral is taking a short sabbatical to deal with stuff. We'll just say stuff. He's got a lot going on right now, but this is too timely to not discuss for all of you, because we know you want to hear our opinion on RuPaul's Drag Race, because nobody else out there gives an opinion ever, and you wait for us to be where you get your opinions from. Okay, maybe not. Anywho, with me today, I have got Brian.
Hello.
And Eric.
Hello.
Hi there.
I can't believe it's finally over.
At long last, our national nightmare is over. Oh, wait, no, that's still happening. It's not 2020 yet.
21 weeks of Drag Race. 21 weeks.
Never again. Please. I'm telling World of Wonder, please, never again. It's killed us. I mean, it would have been worse if we had been doing the weekly recaps.
Well, I'm sorry. It's not even 21. It's 22. We had 1 week off.
Yeah.
So 21 out of the last 22 weeks, we have had Drag Race between All-Stars 3 and Season 10. They talk about how there's superhero movie fatigue. I'm having a bit of Drag Race fatigue right now.
Yes.
Yes.
I am just kind of ready for a nice break and then to get bombarded with Season 11 stuff coming up probably in the next four-ish months, I would say.
I was going to say, they've already filmed it, right? So we're really looking at like fall, early winter.
No, I doubt it.
Are they still in the middle of filming?
No, that should be over by now.
Okay. Filming is quick.
Yeah, filming takes about a month from start to finish.
And then the rest of that is all editing and other stuff.
But I mean, they go for probably about 6 or 7 months after the filming before it starts up. So we'll have a little bit of time. Well, we won't hear much until towards the end of the year.
I mean, they do have to consult with the Delos engineers who handcraft the automatons that then they substitute into the drag show to like make the storylines work the way they want, I think. Or is that a different show? That might be Westworld. I don't know. Either way, it takes a lot to craft. Listen.
I was like, that whole thing went right over my head.
I know. Eric, you don't watch Westworld, do you?
No.
Shit.
I've seen like 3 episodes.
All of you out there who are Westworld fans, hopefully you enjoyed that little journey we went on.
I've seen Breastworld.
Well, there you go. It's close enough. But no, seriously, the editing, I'm sure. Plus, as the editors drop dead from their Faustian bargains because they've sold their soul to work for this, I mean, you know, they have to replace them and it's a whole thing. So, takes a while.
All right. So the last time we talked, we kind of just breezed over some of the episodes that had happened between our mid-season-ish and when Tora was here and we talked about DragCon. So let's just do a quick little highlights and lowlights of the last two episodes before the reunion and the finale, just to catch ourselves up.
So top 5, top 4, and then
can we do top 6? Did we talk about...
Do you really want to rehash poor Monet going home again? Because I don't. I mean, that made me sad.
It made me sad. That's why I want to mention it.
All right. We can talk about the makeover challenge where poor Monet Exchange
was robbed. So that episode, I think, marked the beginning of the end for me, wherein I saw, oh, you really want Aquaria to win. Because clearly, I think the consensus has been, who is the person she made over?
Kingsley,
the tastemaker slash influencer, which is what we're calling people who have YouTube channels now. I'm not jealous. They did a horrible job. I thought it looked horrible. Like, it was the wrong proportion. Proportionizing. But then, like, Monet, who had
Tyler Oakley.
Thank you. Who I've actually heard of Tyler. I thought overall was pretty successful. It wasn't the best, but I don't think it was the worst.
I'd agree.
And so at that moment, I felt like, well, there you go. You're holding on to your favorite for whatever reason, and there you go. That's there. The writing's on the wall.
Well, and this is the thing. It's weird because almost none of the winners have had that easy of a stretch without having a lip sync. There are exceptions. Like, Bianca was never in the bottom. Tyra was never in the bottom.
Except in life.
Well, oof. Now, yes.
Boom! Oh, God! If you didn't hear that, we just had a lovely little lightning strike. Thank you, God or Thor, for the assist.
That was Tyra Sanchez. She was very upset that you're trying to talk shit about her. But we've had our winners end up, and especially towards the end up in the bottom. You had Jinx famously doing her Malambo number one lip sync against Detox.
Best.
During the ball.
Yeah, top 4 week.
So good.
You had Bob lip syncing against Derek Barry.
I think that was top 5.
I think so. I think that was the makeover challenge. No, that was the ball. I'm sorry.
That was the book ball.
Yeah.
Sasha never had to lip sync.
No. There are exceptions, but if one of them has done a bad job, they've been in the bottom.
Yeah.
Oh, Sasha.
And it just didn't feel like the times that Aquaria should have been in the bottom, she wasn't in the bottom. And it was, I don't know if it was a matter of they didn't feel like if she lip synced on the show that it wouldn't look like she should have won. And then you'd have another hashtag justice for whoever, like when Trixie went home to Pearl.
Right.
And her very lethargic performance. But, you know, either which way, it did definitely feel like Aquaria was boosted along Roxy Andrews style to the end. Oof. But she did serve good looks on the runway. I mean,
good looks, not necessarily greatest of all time.
We need to
looks.
Put a pin in that because I want to talk about that for in the finale specifically. But overall, I think she is creative and a very good looks queen.
Yeah. And so, I mean, it's...
I guess if that's what you want, fine.
So yeah. The makeover challenge. So that's where Monet went home. And that was sad because I know we all have a special bond with Monet.
And Miss Cracker won that episode.
Yes.
And it was exciting.
And we thought, things are looking up for Miss Cracker.
Oh, God.
Womp, womp, womp.
So then that episode, so we're up to the final five, right?
Yes. This is the twins, good and evil twins challenge.
Again, didn't think that Cracker was the worst. Probably in the bottom two, okay, fine. But lip sync, I don't know. I've never... Overall, what's her name? Cameron, who's been in the bottom how many times? Like,
that was her third time in the bottom.
Okay. She's not bad either. But I just, between the two, I'm sitting there going, oh yeah, Cracker's got it. This is fine. I don't know.
Lip sync wasn't good. I like Cracker a lot. And when she performed here in Orlando,
she was amazing.
That was fun and it was a good performance. However, what we saw on TV was not good.
Well, I just thought
for
it was...
the song. Like, what, it, the thing is, you have
what
to
What was
perform,
the song again? I don't remember.
Nasty Girl.
Okay. Which, admittedly, I guess in that case, doesn't favor either one of them very well.
No, it favors Cameron.
Okay.
Oh, that favored Cameron.
Okay.
Sitting up there, freaking throwing her pussy up in the air, spinning her legs around and whatnot. I'm like, Nasty Girls, dance, dance, dance.
That's a good point, I guess.
Now, yeah, Cameron... as much as I didn't want Cracker to go home, Cameron did deserve that win. It is tough when it's your third time in the bottom. And there have been times where a queen being in the bottom for the third time, no matter how good they are in that lip sync, they're pretty much done. Their number is done.
Yeah, but, and the thing is, I thought Cracker did a serviceable enough against somebody who's been in the bottom three times.
Yes. But then if you also factor in the runway or their outfits from the challenge, Cameron's looks were
good.
Better.
I thought they were pretty good.
I won't say better than Cracker's Marie Antoinette.
No.
Because her Marie Antoinette was good. But
oh, that's
that prehistoric one with the bone necklace and all that wasn't.
Yeah,
that great. Was Aquaria. And Aquaria had that bone.
That mouth cover.
Which looked creepy as shit on TV. And then you watch, you see stills and you see more of it. I think even in Untucked, it actually did like have some really impressive craftsmanship.
Well, so, it was, like, I believe 3D printed.
It was specifically for her. And so when I got to see that level of detail, not just moving around on her face, I was like, okay, that looks pretty cool. But, like, again, I just, as your, what is it, your inner demon, your inner saboteur, I was like, I get it. You're so beautiful when you're your normal good self, and then this is your ugly self. But I didn't see it with her ever. Other than, she paints well, and she has some good looks. Some. So every time where it felt like she was artificially or whatever, just helped along a bit. Her booster seat, if you will.
I will say more often than not, Aquaria's looks were very much fashion forward. It felt like it was Violet Chachki all over again. Honestly, when somebody posted a picture of Ginger, Kennedy, Pearl, and Violet and said, oh, this season 7 finale is going to be epic. It was so accurate that it wasn't even funny.
Yeah.
Like, it really did boil down to all of the same type of
the archetypes.
Yeah.
Although, I mean, Pearl was not muscular, but skinny white guy, kind of. Yeah. I don't think he was very muscular.
No. But it's still the
waspy white guy. Well, and Violet's white. Anyway, so I don't know. I don't get it. But yeah, so Cracker went home. Sad, sad, very sad.
And what killed me was the fact that, and you could tell that they did these in two separate runways. Because what we saw at home was that they walked out as their good side with their narration, and then walked out as their inner saboteur with their narration, and then got critiqued, basically, you know, good and then bad with, you know, run one right after the other, where we obviously know they didn't find some way to clone them and split them into two. So they walked the runway as their ideal self or their good self and got their critiques. And then obviously had time to change and redo their makeup and do whatever they were going to do and get into their outfits for their inner saboteur runway and then go out there and get those critiques. The fault in them doing it that way, and especially the way that it gets edited, is there is no consistency in what they're saying, because you have talk of, oh, well, there's not enough change, you know, there's not enough similarity to your good side, and then you have somebody else come out and it's something and they're like, oh, it's different enough that it works. And it's like, can you please be consistent on how you're judging these people? You tell Cameron that because her outfit is basically just the inverse of her good outfit, that that's not what you're looking for. But then you tell Cracker it wasn't enough like your good side for it to be a inner saboteur, like yin yang type of thing. And that killed me, because it's like, you know, somebody like Aquaria, whose looks are polar, like opposites, not even related to each other, and that's praised, and she wins. Somebody like Asia, whose looks are very not tied together at all, aside from the orange balloon that was deflated and turning black. Like, it didn't feel like it was being critiqued.
Who won that one? Was it Aquaria?
Aquaria.
Okay, I mean, because Asia clearly should have, I feel like, based on the thematic way she tied the two together and the difference.
I don't know. It was good. They were both good. I can understand why Aquaria won. But, I mean, it was that was splitting hairs to pick a winner. for that one.
I think one of the problems we have now in RuPaul Drag Race is, and this isn't a new problem, so many people from the pageant world watch and enter, in some cases, the queens enter, and the scoring is not transparent or even clearly defined at all. There is no scoring that we are privy to. It is just somebody, let's say Ru's decision, backed up by the opinions of her panel, maybe. And the opinions can vary so wildly because they don't give them, like, a style guide. They probably just, like, go, hey, riff on whatever you want. We're going to pick the person, so, you know, we'll just take that under advisement. But, I mean, it's not consistent. There's no rules. There's nothing. It's just whoever's decision, probably mostly Root, maybe. I don't even know. And so it's hard to be – you can't have a consistent system if it's up to the whims of one or two or three producers, you know? Like, I just – you know what I mean? Like, unlike a pageant where at least there is rules and sort of defined process, there's not here that we're at least privy to.
Way too many parameters on a pageant, though, because okay. They're
– the way I've had pageants explained to me with, like, Chantel – it feels like that is more structured and well-defined. Even it's all subjective, but there are metrics. There are, I mean, you know, there's scoring sheets. There's process, but I don't see any of that in this RuPaul Drag Race. It might be there, but we don't see it.
Well, it's not even so much that. It's that they don't get score sheets back. It's not.
And the audience doesn't ever.
Well, no, I mean, but that's.
So we're
not
always
for
gonna
us
have
and
these...
needs to be privy to.
No, I know, but the root problem here is we're always going to see this discrepancy because we don't know their system. And if their system isn't clearly articulated, we will keep encountering these kind of like, wait, they should have probably won because subjective reasons, but not them. And again, we don't know why they did win. Does that make sense? Like, I feel like this is the inherent problem with reality TV in general, but specifically.
Yeah,
RuPaul's
but if you
Drag
go
Race.
To a pageant, you're kind of in that same boat regardless. You're going to go to a pageant. You're going to watch them walk these categories where they're given a category.
Right.
You're given a theme, which just like the runway, you're given a theme. You go out there in whatever your outfit is. The judges score it. They get all the scores at the end of the night. They tabulate, get a winner that, you know.
So the audience never sees that.
No,
at all, so.
There's none of that. So you, here's the winner of interview. Here's the winner of talent. Here's the winner of evening gown. Okay. And then here's, you know, our. You know, second alternate, first alternate, and here's your winner. And you go, shit, I thought it was going to be this person because I thought they did better. And you don't get to see that. The contestants will get score sheets back. But we also don't see the 6 hours of time that it's taking to do critiques and all of that. So they're getting a lot more information and what they're looking for. We see 5 minutes for all the contestants. So it's, you know...
So that doesn't help either.
Then. No, but I mean, that's the thing. That's television. That's taking a 16-hour workday and compressing it into the back half of a television show.
Yeah. But I guess it's interesting then when like someone like Cracker, who does her... What's the name of the YouTube show?
Review with a Jew.
She goes into some of that a little bit. A little bit.
A little bit, because, you know, she can't talk about... everything.
Right. And the, you know, same thing with sibling rivalry when Monet would go into so I guess it's interesting to hear the fuller picture and really understand if that, you know, it reflects what the decision was made. So again, like, I don't know, it's information we're not privy to that makes these kind of things so hard to call and also
but that's the thing. But that's what we have no say in that call, so honestly it doesn't matter.
Well, we have no say except that they make this like, you know, oh, are you hashtag team so and so, are you and at one point maybe there was a possibility that made an influence, and with Miss Congeniality, you know, at various times
that influences it when the popular opinion backs up their person that they're wanting to push through as the winner of the season.
Yeah.
So it's tough. But I mean, we see the final product and we're getting, you know, a piece of what they have filmed. You know, does it suck? And do I sometimes not agree with it? Yeah. But at the end of the day, when we squabble about like who should have won an episode, we're talking about something that happened 6, 8, 10 months ago.
Oh, and everybody who's in that thing has moved on and is doing quite okay in their own careers.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
So then, Eric, what was our final challenge before the filming of the finale?
Each queen did a guest spot on What's the Tea?
Although, without the incredulous sponsor pushing.
Exactly. They did not get their limited edition squatty potty. Also, they had to write their own verse to RuPaul's American, now available on iTunes.
Thank you for that shameless plug.
Of course.
For them.
I thought that was just the subtitle of the song. And then they had to perform it.
American, American.
It's her biggest hit ever.
Is it?
That I had never heard before.
I'm like, I can't even remember how the hook goes.
Red, white, and blue. That's all I remember. They're all fine. I mean, it's not. All Stars 3, I felt like, was a Kitty Girl.
Yeah.
That's, to me, one of my favorites in a long time. American was fine, but not as memorable.
Mirror, mirror on the wall. Who's the fiercest of them all? Face, 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 body and all. Another day, another slay. Meow, meow, savage beast.
Okay, so not all the verses were successful.
From renowned lyricist.
Do it, you know you want to.
C'est bon.
I still think that that Reggie Wrote You was the best lyrically.
Yes.
Because I think all four of them, no matter how much we joke about Roxy Andrews, like, it's still better than Mirror, Mirror on the Wall. I'll take Roxy and her, I'm here to show you.
Terrible. So,
we were rooting for you. We were all rooting for you.
Who was rooting for Roxy?
Have you seen Trixie do the lip sync to it? She'll do Reggie Wrote You. She may not do it anymore, but like shortly after All Stars 2 had come out, she was in, I think, Berlin or London and did Reggie Wrote You. And when it got to Roxy's part, it had started. And then she put it in the Tyra Banks yelling at the girl from America's Next Top Model. It was fantastic.
So All Stars 2 was what, 3 years ago?
It just feels that way. It was right before 9.
So they're really going to alternate at this point.
No, I don't think they will, because season 11, speculation. I don't want World of Wonder and VH1 bursting through the door. Speculation is that it's already filmed. And what? We haven't filmed All Stars 4 yet.
Okay, so 11 first, but then probably All Stars 4.
Because All Stars 3 was filmed before season 10 was.
Right, okay.
So more than likely we'll get a bumped up season 11 back in kind of its normal spot in maybe the February, March area. And then I could see them doing a summer All Stars. They need time. Honestly, we're getting to a point where, like, I know they want to keep pumping out seasons for ratings and for money, but we're getting to the point where we're basically going to just run into, like, it's going to be Serena Chacha versus Jade Jolie for the crown of All Stars.
Jade.
Sotomayor? Aww. I'd pick Jade Sotomayor.
I want two things from All Stars. I want All Stars. Well, so it's not really All Stars. I want Drag Race Legends. That idea that keeps popping up on social media. I think that would be amazing. I don't know why anyone would sign up for it, but I would love to see it.
It'll never happen, but for that exact reason.
I know. But I would love to see it. And then what I want is All Stars, the loser's bracket. So there's three things. So I want all of the maybe first or second, maybe third to go home from all the seasons in a pool or some subset, obviously. And I do want eventually, and maybe this would be like the last thing they do, the winner's circle and have all of the All-Stars winner or all the winners of the seasons.
Never going to happen.
And I know it'll never happen. Well,
we saw how BB did.
So put it this way. Jinx was on, you know, the T, whatever. What's their show?
Hey, Queen. Oh, no. What's the tea?
What's the tea? And they brought this up, and I don't know. I mean, she kind of said she might do it, but of course a lot of queens would.
Bianca would never go back.
No.
Sure.
Bianca's, I think, emphatically stated she would not do it again.
And I get that. But, I mean, I don't know.
At that point, you are jeopardizing your reputation as a winner to go back. And then you obviously are not going to – you're not guaranteed to win again.
Do you think Tyra will go back?
I don't think they would have Tyra back.
I've wondered about that because, like, oh, she is just so far off the reservation.
I don't think that. I mean, it would be fun to see. The only way I could see a winner's edition or a Legends edition happening is if it wasn't elimination based until they crown at the end and do like a scoring, a cumulative scoring yeah. type of format for it. Mm-hmm. If you flipped the entire format and didn't do it, like you had a lip sync and, you know, you did everything except the eliminations, so that way everybody still had a chance till the end, then I can maybe see that happening, because no matter what, you're on this the entire time. There is no, oh, I went home first, but right. yet I'm this legendary queen.
Yeah.
I mean, but that kind of idea is not, it wouldn't be the first time a reality show's done that.
Because, oh, absolutely
because
not.
Top Chef did Top Chef Masters.
Yes.
Where they brought in all these legendary chefs.
I feel like Survivor's done it. Like, yeah, it's a not unknown trope in reality TV now.
Absolutely. But also, look at Top Chef Masters. They had to change formats going into the fourth season because you went from this, like, episode versus, yeah, you know, like, episode, and then you have one person out of these when, like, Chopped. It was, yeah. like, it was like multiple Chops.
Right.
When Chopped does their grand championship, and they'll do
yeah.
four individual episodes. You have 16 contestants, and then you have one final episode.
That was mostly because these people cannot block out
that much time.
The full shooting schedule.
Absolutely. Yeah. But, I mean, they're also not drag queens.
Well, no. I think the chefs are maybe a little bit close, but not even then, because you're not out there gigging. You're opening a restaurant, and then you're staying there. Yeah,
these are people that have world-class restaurants that are busy no matter what.
Right.
Them not winning a cooking competition isn't going to jeopardize their attendance at their restaurant.
Absolutely.
Because they're well-known for it. But a queen coming back, and especially queens where people are like, oh, this person was robbed, it should have been this person. Then they go home first, second, third, fourth. That is a huge blow to your brand, and especially when you're relying on booking gigs to make your money.
Mm-hmm.
So,
but to quote one of the most loved Drag Race contestants, Magnolia Crawford, wouldn't they just do it for the exposure?
Nice.
Yes. Yes, they would. She's like a swordfish.
I want to come back to what season 10 did right and what they didn't do. I want to come back to that at the end if we can remember.
All right.
Like, we should finish, but I do want to come back to that.
Okay. So to round out the top four episode, after they watch the video, because they apparently are now just performing these things on random spots of the lot to film them in other places, the top four have to lip sync for their lives to see who's going to go home and who will be in the top three, even though we just changed the format last season to a top four and a lip sync for the crown. I love how they were like, yes, just in your confessional, make sure that you talk about this. You know it's not going to be anybody going home, but they still did a lip sync.
Of course.
Eric, what did you think about this lip sync for their lives?
To Call Me Mother, with the four of them all in pageant gowns, so they can't dance to an up-tempo song.
I mean, at least Aquaria like flopped to the ground at some point. And did some sort of move other than just waving side to side.
It was sure no Julie Andrews. That's for sure.
We just got to be careful. You never know. Azalea Banks might try to come in here and sue us for even mentioning Call Me Mother.
But yeah, that's about what I thought of it.
It was bad.
Yeah.
That really was. Like, I'm like, why is this even a thing? Why are we doing this right now? So that led to them being told no one was going home and we have a top four.
That was me. That was I was literally moving my finger in the air in a circle just to say whoopee.
Ooh.
Big like so uneventful and anticlimactic. I was like,
were you surprised? I was surprised.
So now, before we get into talking about the reunion and the grand finale of RuPaul's Drag Race season feels like a thousand years, let's talk about Squarespace.
I was about to say
No, not Squarespace. Anywho, well, if you are enjoying our podcast here, our Drag Race episodes, our movie reviews, our full cast episodes, all of these fine things that we are putting out for you, then why not tell a friend and make sure that you go over and check out our social media and subscribe to the podcast if you haven't done so already. And while you're over at your favorite podcasting site, whether it's Apple Podcasts or Stitcher or Google Play Music, feel free to give us a star rating. Write us a review. We love when we hear that anybody is out there and has an opinion. No matter if it agrees with us or doesn't, we like to hear what you have to say because it opens up dialogue and maybe it'll give us something to talk about that we didn't think about before. And if you are so inclined to be generous, head on over to patreon.com/nerdyshow and you can become a patron at any level. There is as little as, I believe, $1 that you can give. You can do a one-time donation. But if you are enjoying our podcast the most, because we think we're special on this network, and we think you think that as well, then you can earmark some of those dollars to come directly to our show by just leaving a little note with your Patreon subscription. So now back to some Drag Race fun. The reunion episode,
which was filmed
the day after the finale taping. I am kind of a fan of this because you start to see more claws coming out. It didn't happen as much this time around.
Do, even with a new format, do they still film multiple endings?
Yes. Yes, okay. They do.
Oh, yeah.
So when they filmed this, Cameron had been filmed winning the crown. Eureka had been filmed winning the crown. And Aquaria had been filmed winning the crown twice. Because they had to, well, I don't know if it was the full thing, but they had to redo part of her crowning because RuPaul forgot to do the everybody say love, can I get an amen portion of it.
Oh.
So they went and they did it again. They did it twice. So, yeah. At that point, the only person who knew they didn't have a chance at winning the crown was Asia.
Oof.
Which will lead to the first thing that made me laugh was when, at the end of the episode, when RuPaul was saying, who do you think should win? And they, the queens that would say Asia, and they would cut to Asia looking all somber. I'm like, oh, that's where she's just shedding a tear.
Well, did you watch the live reaction video that they posted?
I have not yet.
So that's interesting, too, because they skip, so they, you know, they show little moments from the recording that's being aired in real time and they're watching it, all four. And they skipped the, was it the first?
Oh, they actually had Asia go too?
Oh, yeah, yeah. She was there. And then they, well, because they, wow, they're showing it. Yeah.
They're at a viewing party. I know. Right. I get that.
And then they skipped her lip sync against, who was it? Cameron?
Yeah.
They skipped it altogether, which is funny for numerous reasons that we'll get to. But, yeah.
Wow.
Mm-hmm.
We'll have to put that link up on the Flame On page in case you have not seen it. You can go check it out. So back to the reunion. It was kind of uneventful. It was, let's
RuPaul
see,
was trying for those tears.
Seriously, sure. I'm pretty sure that's how RuPaul stays alive and young-looking, is the tears of drag queens on his show.
Yeah, because I don't think nobody cried during the top four episode, right? When they were talking to their baby pictures?
I don't
Eureka
think
might have
so.
A little bit. She was the most, like, constant crying.
Well, yeah. I think they got choked up. I don't think there was a lot of, and I mean, granted, we didn't see it all, but
right.
I don't remember it being the traditional type of...
No, that was in the finale.
Yeah. Oh, yeah, yeah, yeah. Yeah, the finale was just like, give me all of your tears. I want them all.
They all flowed down to her in this like weird Raiders of the Lost Ark style thing that all the light converges into her.
Yeah, because RuPaul went after Blair's tears, and Blair was like, no, it's okay. I'm good now, and I'm sober. And so, like, after 5 seconds, RuPaul was like, okay, we're doing this now.
Yeah.
She's like, you sure? Can you tell us about you getting raped again? Oh. No? You don't want it? No, you good? You sure? You sure you're okay?
So that's why she went after Vixen.
How about you, Dusty?
So, Dusty.
Oh, God.
Tell us about, what is conversion therapy? What did you go through?
So I think that most exciting moment, and I say exciting in a quotes, was the Vixen. And
the 2 hour, the 2 hour fight over the Vixen.
And then Asia. Yeah, everybody, Asia and everybody else that we didn't see afterwards.
Yes.
Like, they don't release the show on DVDs, I don't think, or Blu-rays. They don't have, like, the the uncut version, at least not for maybe many years, or YouTube exclusive. I don't know, whatever. So I would love to actually see all of the other queens that supposedly stepped up for
Vixen. I would not want to sit there and watch 2 hours of that.
No, because if you watch Review with a Jew, Miss Cracker goes into this somewhat about how just about everybody was pretty much standing up for the Vixen against RuPaul. This is even before she left the stage. And then Vixen was like, yeah, just not getting through. The conversation's not going anywhere. It's just circling around and around. And she was just, I'm done.
And the thing was that her mother was sick in the hospital. And she wasn't even going to go to the reunion. And her mom told her to go and do it. You need to do this. So she was already not in a great headspace. And then to sit there for 2+ hours of just beating this situation into the ground. And it felt like it didn't serve a purpose.
Other than to stir shit and cause, it's
for ratings.
For ratings, yeah. And I'm not even saying I disagree with Rue's point. I'm sympathetic to what Rue was saying. But I still, now that I know more of the other material and the fact that it was 7-8 hours total for Rue. Yeah.
Like, it was a full day of shooting.
And then that most, that 2 hours or whatever was of the Vixens thing. Yeah, I'm way more sympathetic to her now.
Getting up and leaving at that point?
Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely. No, I mean, again, it's, and this is the thing. You have to think, okay, yeah, so she's done. But she also, in the back of her head, is going, well, this will also cause a story, a narrative. I mean, you can react, but then there's part of you as that position that has to think about that and consider it. So whether or not that was something she felt like was a good thing or not, it all factors in.
I could maybe see that afterwards. I don't, in what I know of the Vixen, I don't think that was
the immediate
thought. At that point, I think it's when you, let's say she doesn't have that ability to cope and process and deal with it in a certain way, or the way that RuPaul wanted it dealt with. Once you get to a point and you just have had a couple of hours of trying to get the point across, your point across in the way that you know how to do it, mm-hmm. and you're just hitting a wall with it, or just keep circling back around, no matter how it's going to be spun, because you know at that point you're going to get spun as the angry black woman.
And that, yeah.
Because now you've seen the entire season for the most part. They filmed this right before the final four episode, but you've seen all of your episodes and how it was edited.
Yeah.
So you know how they're going to edit you no matter what, especially after that long. That you can't even be bothered with how they're going to spin it. But on the flip side, there has been a good amount of
blowback
support for what we saw was Asia's argument with RuPaul. And I'll say this. I get, I can empathize with both parts of it. I do understand that RuPaul and what we saw was trying, you can't excuse bad behavior or inconsiderate behavior. But at the same time, and when she's sitting there going, I came from the same place as her and look where I am now. I would have loved, and I somebody may have, but I would have loved had there been a clapback of, well, how are you at that age? Because Vixen's not old.
No.
Vixen's what, early 20s?
Yeah.
How are you in your early 20s, Rue?
Oh,
how did you deal with this shit?
Mess, and yeah, she'd be fooling anyone to say otherwise.
I don't think the show actually was edited well to make RuPaul come off that great. I didn't think she came off.
A lot of people did. A lot of people back Rue on that, and feel, and they're like, oh, I love that they showed that emotion from her. Went out.
I think some of the problem with the reason that there was such a disconnect is a generational thing.
It
like
is.
No, saying.
I think so.
Well, because a lot of the queens, especially this season, are younger.
They're getting younger and younger. Every season, your majority of your cast is getting younger.
It's like teaching college or high school or whatever. Every year, you're like, God damn it, they're getting younger.
It's even not so much that you have people in their upper 20s, younger 30s. It's there are a lot of them in their younger 20s now.
Oh, yeah. Absolutely. So, I mean, you had, two or three that were, 21 on this season.
Yeah.
And Blair was, underage, so I mean,
Blair was 12, so, she skewed it down even further. But I absolutely agree. It's generational.
It is.
And it's a matter of, it's like your grandfather going to you, you see where I am right now? I didn't get where I am acting like you. And then, well, it's like,
that's where I come
really?
From, though. Honestly, that's where I come from. That's why I'm more, as much as I am not a grandfather or that age, actually, no, but I mean, that's why I am a little more sympathetic to Ruth's perspective, I think, because of the generational difference.
I get that.
But I'm not saying I agree with what her thing was.
If RuPaul were to look back at his life at that point in time,
yeah,
you're going to tell me that RuPaul had all of the social coping skills to interact with people the way he's saying that Vixen needs to right here, right now.
Probably not.
In a different time and place where the Vixen is now on a television show being beamed out to millions of people, RuPaul didn't have that kind of notoriety at that age.
Absolutely.
You're thrusting these young queens into the limelight. Mm-hmm. And we are now connected across the world. Back in Ru's day, that wasn't the case.
Well, they had the telegraph. I mean, you couldn't really. I mean,
well, he's sending the.
No, I mean, I totally agree with you.
So that's what I can understand, being upset with how somebody handles something. But at the same time, you know, that's the fucking reason that they're on the show, and that they're on the show for as long as they are, because they want them to be the pot stirrer.
Yep.
Because they want it. And honestly, I felt I was extremely on the Vixen side when it came down to Eureka fucking goading her into that fight. Into the fight they spent the most time talking about. And the fact that she had to sit there and she was like, I went home and sat there for months thinking that I had started this. That this was me. And then I watched the show and I see that she did it on purpose. That is fucked up.
Yeah.
It's absolutely fucked up.
Yeah, because that means that Eureka never reached out, really.
Well, no, and then she says that she did, and then Vixen's like, no, the next day you said, how do we want to play this?
Yeah.
So it's amazing, and I'm not saying any queen is 100% guilt-free, and I'm not saying any queen is 100% at fault, because they all play a fucking game, and it's all a game. Some of them just like to play it harder than others.
And some of it is you have their playing their own games, and then you have the producers playing their games.
Well, sure.
With their chessboard of...
Exactly. Oh, for sure.
It's a nightmare. I really love if there was a Legends and Chantel decided, let's do it, let's go for it. But also, it's such a hell... It's such a gauntlet to go through to get on the other side and then have this good career boost, which admittedly, even
maybe
the
or
ones,
maybe not, because out of 100-something girls,
yeah,
not all of them are pulling these great careers.
But even the ones like, let's say, Jane Mansfield or Calorie Kardashian or any of the ones that go home early and they don't have the Vanjie phenomenon, like they still get a little bit of a boost because they've been on RuPaul. They do.
For that 15 minutes while the show is in its early part of its season.
Then it's a matter of what do they do with that? Do they parlay that into something else, or do they just kind of go, all right, well, whatever.
Well, yes and no. And I mean, some of those queens may or may not have something that they can then go into. But if they're club queens that are going to do these bookings, it's not even a matter if they want to try. Like, they could want to hustle their ass off.
Yeah.
But if that demand isn't there, if from the time they announce the cast till the second episode airs, and then maybe a week or two after that, if, you know, that crowd is not demanding a Calorie Kardashian Williams.
Can we get her to Parliament?
Probably not.
Aww.
I mean, we probably could, but I doubt they would. The thing is, it's a matter of...
The season's over now.
The season's over, and it's the crowd support.
They've brought in some questionable choices in the past.
They have.
So, I don't know. It'd be nice. But, no, I know what you're saying, and this is why, again, it's such a gauntlet to go through that I'm because, you know, Chantel has talked to us at least, and like, you know, not really her priority, but like I really would love to see her and her talent put out on that platform to really see
absolutely
other people reignited about that, you know, about her.
Oh, so 100% agree. All right, so let's get off the reunion and let's talk about this finale.
Oh boy.
This long, long finale. That was only an hour and a half. It was the same length of time as any other episode, but dear God, it felt like forever.
Grave of the Butterflies.
They had to do the whole, oh my goodness, it's our 10th anniversary stuff.
Which is a big thing.
Yeah, I like mean,
it is.
That.
And bringing back the season one queens, artist Tammy Brown, who was apparently
just Tammy.
Teleported to Mars.
No, Tammy was not on tour with Trixie.
Yes, she was.
Yeah. But I don't remember. I think there was at least another queen they didn't have.
Nope,
back.
They had 9 out of 10.
Oh, yeah. Well.
Wait, no, they had 8 out of 9. I'm sorry. Yeah. There were only 9 queens.
Okay. Oh, that's,
yeah,
oh, that's
they had
what
8
it was.
Out of 9,
then.
Which is why two of them had to double up when they did a season 1 versus season 10 lip sync off to RuPaul. And they had the
top,
other 10
yeah,
out of
the
14.
Top four didn't.
Correct, yeah. Although when Cracker went up there and did hers, I was like, why is Aquaria up there?
Oh.
I literally had that thought. I was like, who is that white girl?
Oh.
Like,
why is
she up
mourning?
There?
Oh.
Well, they both wore black.
Yeah. She just didn't.
Because they were copying each other.
Oh. She just didn't have the Psylocke mask on. If only it were butterfly shaped.
Oh. So, I don't know. I was bored throughout the whole reunion, and it, or not reunion, the finale, because, I mean, we kind of all knew about the butterfly thing ahead of time.
Well,
a lot of people
if you
knew
read
about
Reddit.
It. A lot of people knew about it.
A lot of people knew about the butterfly.
So that was like the most like, is it going to happen now? Oh my God, is it going to happen now? And then it happened. You're like, oh, all right. Well, they edited it as well as they could.
Well, yeah, I mean, we had dancing, we had the lip sync off, we had all these little things, we had
the
interviews
wheel.
With the top four. It was all just kind of
RuPaul
whatever.
Finally got her tears.
Yep.
Yes.
Yep.
So we have a drink. Well, it's been a while since the taping, so she needed fresh tears.
Yeah.
She needed to sustain herself until... God,
how does she make it to the next season?
Oh, she stores them. She's got a vault full of dry queen tears. She only needs a few at a time. It's her anti-aging serum. Mm-hmm. Just a couple drops of dry queen tears. It's around the eyes.
It replaced the human pituitary gland she used to harvest.
Yeah. Exactly. So then we get to the lip sync for the crown. They wheel out this giant wheel that now has heads on it.
Yes.
Did it have heads on it last
no,
year? No. It had the names. The
I
pin.
Have the pin you brought back from yes. DragCon, and it just has the names.
The names.
I'm like, well, it'll be interesting how they do this next year.
Yeah. With giant heads on it.
Jesus.
Which... I'm sorry, but Asia and that damn promo wig kills me every time I see it. I'm like, that's
it
the best wig you could have worn.
Vaguely Asian. Doesn't it have like that weird line?
It's like flat across the top and then kind of angled in.
Yeah.
It's weird.
It's weird.
So Cameron is the
Which I don't know
one.
Why they just don't draw names or they
because
can draw
it's
knives
not...
for
a wheel is
it.
So much more exciting.
It's
Hello.
More visual.
But it's not even Rue spinning the wheel because it's not that you watch her quote unquote spin
no,
that wheel.
It's totally
and
motor
you can
driven.
Tell that it is not spinning the way she spun it.
Nope. And yeah. And it's, so it's not the Price is Right, you know, reach up, pull it down, let's spin it. It's yeah.
Make sure it goes around once, but otherwise it won't count. So Cameron is the first one selected by the producers and the guy behind the wheel with the little crank yep. on the back. And she opts to go against Asia. And they bring out two of the original pit crew members. I was so happy to see Sean.
I didn't realize that.
And I want to call the other one Jeffrey. It's James, I believe, is the other pit crew member that came out.
So they've been retired to the farm?
I believe
brought
so.
Back for...
Or they've just moved on. Either or. But I love Sean Morales. He was my favorite pit crew member for years.
He's the one with the mustache, right?
Yes.
Oh, yeah. Okay.
Who did Full Frontal, I think, for Starfucker magazine.
Oh.
It's delightful. So they come out with the two briefcases. So since Cameron got to choose her opponent, Asia got to choose the briefcase. And they got...
Deal or no deal?
Right?
No deal.
Oh.
She picked...
I'll just take the cash, please.
Right. Number one, which was Nasty by Janet Jackson, which was a lip sync number from season one, I believe. I believe both of the Janet songs were from season one.
That's nice.
It had a lot of ties back to the first season.
Were all the Whitney songs?
No.
Last year?
No.
Previous?
No, this is 1 in 10, so that's why they connect to them.
Oh, gotcha.
And they performed. And let's talk about the butterflies.
Butterflies on the ground.
Fuck my drag, right? I mean, there's so many good memes. And
my favorite
so
is Monet
awful.
Coming into the workroom with the broom yes. and the butterflies on the ground.
Yes.
Oh, and wait. So the story is, according to BJ, who cannot be here today, told me that the temperature in the space was cold enough. And the way they were protected, it was not the right temperature for them to feel like they could just fly. So they weren't dead when she
No, they were all free. And that's the thing. And that's what kills me. Bad choice of words. About people talking about this. I read most of the AV Club's review of the episode. And there's a lot of talk about, oh, these butterflies were dead in her costume. They weren't dead.
No, nope.
They were alive. They just weren't acclimated to their surroundings in order to perform. They are the painted lady butterflies. That's the species. Yes, very appropriate for what they were doing. And they are extremely not rare because I've seen things that are like, oh, you watch Drag Race and then you find out that there's 20 species of endangered butterflies. Obviously, she's not going to go find an endangered species of butterfly and do this. And the painted ladies are well known for being trainable to do what she wanted to do.
Yeah.
So she spent months working with trainers and figuring out how to do this type of thing. The problem is, and it's speculation on the temperature, because we don't know what the temperature in the theater was.
I mean, BJ is an entomologist.
No, absolutely.
So
it's one of the reasons why it could be.
Yeah.
But, I mean, you're also talking, no matter how cold it is, you're talking that's a full TV setup that is lighting.
That's true.
So no matter what, you're going to be, it's going to be warm. But they were also not acclimated to where they were going to be. It wasn't the right conditions.
Yeah.
So when she opened up her bracelet and the butterfly just kind of sat there, she basically had a like, get out.
It looks so bad.
And then she opened up the one coffee can on one titty.
Oh.
And then she took the other one off and just threw it in the air.
So Logan Donahue posted net her titties. I have to give him credit because that was pretty awesome.
I really
had like the nets in it. Oh, it was great.
Wish there had been like she had something that just wasn't those nets there because it just looked so weird.
Yeah,
but I think for the butterflies, it kind of had to be so that way they could still manage to breathe.
Yeah,
it was. Yeah, it was
because had she not had like some way for them to breathe, and then she just opened up and they just fell down. Like, oh.
So people were saying, at least ahead of it, that like the queens were stomping all over the butterflies. To the producer's credit, they did edit that same little video clip of the butterflies on the ground. Look, they're okay at the very end of the scene. But I mean, people who were there report that no, they were like
they got swept off the stage.
No.
Yep.
Oh, God. They actually did get swept off.
They had to get swept off the stage. Oh. Yeah. And I'm not saying they all died.
No, probably not. But, oh.
Yeah.
And you could see that Cameron was not ready for there to be butterflies on the ground.
And you know who else wasn't? Monique Hart.
Oh, God.
Oh, her and Vanjie watching that.
That is happened so epic.
My favorite is the still of that. And then just like in the brackets underneath, gay fear.
Yes.
Oh my God.
Yeah. And I feel horrible for her.
Totally.
Because you know that, one, you've spent so much time trying to prepare this artistic like thing to happen, and it doesn't happen the way you plan it. So that's already a disappointment. And then you're stepping on these butterflies. And then you lose this lip sync.
And before Rue even said the name of the person, you could just see her over there. Just, oh my gosh, she did not want to be on camera.
And now I get what you were saying, what we'll get to in a second, a lot more than I did previously about redos and retakes.
Yeah. So Cameron was the winner for her lip sync for the crown battle and went on to the finals. We get our second lip sync for the crown battle with Eureka versus Aquaria. Or as I like to say, a bigger Ginger Minge and a Jiffy Pop bag.
Oh, okay. That's the look I want to talk about.
The Jiffy Pop bag, of course.
Okay, so every queen had a reveal. I'll call it reveal, whatever. I think Aquarius was, as much as it was disappointing to have the butterflies just drop, I admire the balls, so to speak, of trying to pull that off. Aquarius was just like, drop trowel, let's go. And then she's a fucking weird, I don't even know what that's supposed to be other than the inside of a funky flower, which I'm guessing is what it was. But, like, she dropped it as soon as they started. There was no reveal other than, like...
Well, she wasn't going to be able to do much with that on.
It was awkward. And I'm sitting there like, yeah, the Jiffy Pop bag. I'm like, why? There's another meme that's going around that has all four of them standing there with their bulky outfits and whatever. And it's like, someone's going to have a reveal or there's going to, you know, like, of course. But it's, like, too much. It's too much now.
The thing was, it was not a functional outfit prior to the reveal, which reminds me of All Stars 2 when they did the 2-in-1 outfits. Uh-huh. And Alaska came out just covered in a black satchel.
Yep.
And then, sure, she did a reveal and came out as a little pound cake, but the first one was not an outfit.
Well, that's the thing. It wasn't so much a reveal. It was a 2-in-1 challenge, and it was supposed to be one outfit that you then do something, and now all of a sudden it's a second outfit.
I don't like Tchotchke, but I will tell you, when they did
her tartan, the
that
season was 7
the
premiere,
best
yeah.
of all of those, like, 2-in-1s.
Yeah.
I can't think of
it. I think Fifi was amazing.
That was exactly where I was going to go with it.
I remember hers.
She came out as the prince and then spun into the bell gold dress.
Okay.
Yeah.
That was sickening.
Yeah.
That was sickening.
But Miss Aquaria, the eventual winner, spoilers, by the way, it was lame.
I was really disappointed. Cameron's
by that.
Reveal was similar, but she did it a little bit into the lip sync.
That's what I'm saying. You do it a little bit in. You have to have a moment in
but
that.
But the
first
thing is,
outfit.
If your outfit is your, like, showstopper, and that's why you have that Jiffy Pop thing on, one, to be like, what the fuck is going on? And then to have it, like, to drop it to reveal the outfit, like, that's the whole, like, point of the impact. You're not going to dance around for half the song and then be like, look at this outfit. It's because then she had the, like, booby thing at the end as well.
That was
the problem
weird.
Was because she had the spikes all over the outfit, it would have been hard to find a functional cover for that. Like, you couldn't just put on a big coat because...
I get that.
Well, and that's like Monique when she came out at the beginning and had that giant, like, just piece of fur over her so that way she could pull off and have a brown cow. Aww. Stunning!
Aww. Yeah.
So, It looked weird, but, I mean, I understand it. This was the one that kind of threw everybody that was at the taping for a bit of a loop, and what also cemented what I've been saying all season long, that Aquaria was going to be the winner of the season no matter what, because according to everything that I've read from the filming, she did not do that well in this lip sync. She fell a couple of times, stumbled, and you could see one of the kind of stumbles that she played off on the actual episode, but she apparently fell at least once, if not twice, during the lip sync.
So they didn't redo the lip sync.
No.
Okay. So
it's editing.
It's just edited. Okay.
Yeah, because there was one point where she had to stutter step or whatever because she almost ran into her Jiffy Pop bag that was down there.
Yeah, and I think that was one of the issues, but she played that one off, and that's the one that we saw, but no, there was more to it that we didn't see, and in a lip sync for the crown, it's bullshit, but we have a double Shantae You Stay, and instead of having a top two, we have a top three, and the only person not vying for the crown at that point is Asia.
Awkward. Which, I am sure... Yes, with everything that happened with Aquaria falling and whatnot, obviously, it's weird that she would have been chosen to go on. But I think if Asia had actually succeeded and won her lip sync, I don't think there would have been the double Shantae You Stay.
I still do, because Aquaria was the winner from the get-go.
Right, so they had to force it. Yeah, exactly.
If you fuck up that badly and you're still the one that the producers are pinning their win on, You have to figure out a way to be able to do it. Right. And she didn't fuck it up so horribly that you couldn't be like, oh, well, this, like, this is why. It was more a matter of this is who they wanted to win. We need to make it happen. So the crowd would be like, what the fuck happened if Aquaria had been named the winner and Eureka had not gone on? The only way to save it is double stay.
Yep.
It just happens and it is what it is. And as soon as I heard that, I flat out was like, Aquaria is getting crowned. I don't care what happens. Aquaria is getting crowned if you're going to do that.
Yeah.
But then we have the final lip sync to Bang Bang by Jessie J, Ariana Grande, and Nicki Minaj. And everybody's like, oh, this was a plan because it's a 3-part song. They're not doing a part a piece.
Well, so that's what Chantel was saying. She's like, if they had known that going in, they should have each had their own part. And I'm like, they didn't.
Well, but that's the thing. You're not going to have something like that because it's a full lip sync. You're not going to have one queen come out and do one part.
Right.
One queen
that's
come out and
true
do,
too.
Because
right.
you're not going to have a balance right. of what you're seeing.
To compete. Yeah, yeah. I will say in this of the final three, Aquaria did do a really good job.
I was impressed with her lip sync.
I agree completely. Yeah.
I think Cameron gave her a run for her money, and I feel like Eureka ran out of steam. Mm-hmm. She still tried to Swiffer the stage with her pussy. She still tried to
I
do all
love
these things.
That, though that is a really funny maneuver.
That's fine.
That.
All three of them were like, well, Aquaria had not lip synced in previous episodes, but both Cameron and Eureka did things in that lip sync that they had done exactly the same way.
Although I'm pretty sure she was the only one that didn't do a center split in the final lip sync. Because I'm pretty sure Aquaria and Eureka did it together. And Cameron was like, bitches, stop stealing my shit.
Yeah.
But no, it's true. And that's the thing. A lot of queens, and I joke about Kennedy all the time with this. And it's, you know, flip on the stage, flip off the stage, flip on the stage, flip off the stage. But those are their go-to moves, unless you are choreographing an entire thing to a song that you can perform without an issue, like that you know you have, you're going out and doing a performance, or you're doing a talent portion at a pageant, where you know you're the one out there and you can set this whole thing up. When you're competing against somebody, you don't have that luxury to be like, okay, I'm going to have this area and I'm going to have free range to do what I'm going to do. You kind of just wing it, and you're going to go to your default moves because those are the ones you know how to do well, and you know you're going to pull off. You're going to do your death drop. You're going to do your split. You're going to do your a cartwheel if that's your thing. Like, you're going to do a center split and then, you know, lean forward into it. It's those little things. But Aquaria did pull out some magician's like fire tricks at the beginning.
Yeah, that was cool.
I
her outfit was like the superhero-y kind of outfit of all of them.
Yeah.
I liked it.
It was cute. And then she had the, my favorite was the confetti pop cannon.
Yeah.
And then
she did two of those.
She did.
Yeah.
She did. The first one I was like, oh, okay, whatever. And then she timed it right for that final like beat. Yeah. And I was like, all right, I get it. I understand. Like, I'm not mad about the outcome of that lip sync.
Yeah.
And she obviously knew she had to step her shit up.
Yeah.
Because there was no way that she was going to slide by again on that. Like, that you would have had to figure some shit out at that point.
Right.
But I honestly think that Cameron was the next best, if not, like, close enough to Aquaria in that lip sync. You know that would have been a revolt if Cameron had won, though.
By who?
Yeah.
Most of the population.
Oh, really?
Yeah, I think so.
See,
again, I don't think Cameron was meant to be there. I think because of how bad the butterflies were, there was no way that...
I mean, true.
Rue could have...
Well, and that's the thing. And that lip sync didn't really matter.
Yeah.
You know, as much as I hate to say it, and this is my opinion, this is not something that anybody has told me, but my opinion is that they went into this whole thing with Aquaria targeted as their winner. It didn't matter who did better in that final lip sync against for Cameron and Asia. Whoever it was going to be, and would have gone up against Aquaria in some way, shape, or form. Yeah. Whether it was the two of them, you know, two of them or three of them, whatever it was going to be. But the one thing that I didn't mention during our reunion talk was the meme that I posted on my page. I don't think I put it on the Flame On page, where it's The Simpsons and it's Bart in front of the television and it says, right here. It's the moment you can see his heart break in half.
Yeah.
And it's the Cameron's head superimposed on, I think, Homer's body.
Ralph. Yeah.
Oh, that's right. That's when Lisa breaks his heart. Yes. Like, yeah. And it's just like, that is hysterical and so sad all at the same time, because even in that room, nobody was supporting Cameron and felt that Cameron, I guess, deserved to be up in that final four. And I'm like, and these are the people that you've just done this entire season with, and not a single one of the 10 said Cameron's name.
But I don't think that was so much a measure of Cameron's talent versus the whole issue everyone had with her on a personal level.
I think that was exacerbating the situation. I think because they felt that Cameron was this quote-unquote shady queen and was whatever and still made top four, I think that was the issue that then made everything else worse, because now you have a queen that's not this outgoing and exuberant person, and now they're all like, oh, you made the top four, now you too good for us, bitch?
Because, I mean, even though Ms. Cracker probably said it in jest, when she picked her winner, she went, came for me, sent me home, Eureka wins by default.
Yeah.
So it wasn't necessarily, like, I'm taking the words at face value, even though I'm sure she was picking Eureka anyways, but just framed it in a joke. But
so I just don't know with the Cameron thing, is she just that shady and was trying to keep her, like, poker face on, or is she just an introvert? And even in this situation, she just didn't feel comfortable, you know, being outspoken or outgoing. I don't know.
No, I think that's, I mean,
Maybe a little bit of both.
I feel like I have a little bit of an understanding of Cameron. Like, I mean, you guys know me. When I'm on the show or when I'm at work, you have to put on this thing for the people that you're doing it for. So our listeners here, or the people that are coming to my gigs or, you know, my events. But when I'm just kind of, when I'm off work, I'm quiet. I'm low key. I'm not that like, woo, let's party, let's go get drunk, let's do this all the time. Like, you need to be able to recharge and not have that type of thing. And, you know, you're going to go out there and put on this show, and if you have that introverted side, you're going to want to be more quiet and more reserved when you're not doing the thing that you're supposed to be doing.
Yeah.
And I don't think the other queens were necessarily just criticizing her for being introverted. I think they felt like they were being willfully ignored. And I think there's a difference between somebody just being introverted and then somebody just...
And we'll never know.
Yeah.
Honestly, yeah. Because we don't know how many of those instances happened and the way that they saw it, because there's always two sides of the story, because Cameron may have just been in whatever place, and the other queen or queens may have been in another place, and they both read the situation wrong, or one of them is right. It is what it is. All I can say is when I worked with Cameron, she was pleasant and really nice to work with, and she and the and Vixen and oh no I'm sorry it was her and Asia and Kennedy, and they were enjoying themselves. They seemed to be having a good time, and they were in the dressing room together. So honestly, maybe she just didn't like that queen. You don't need to be friends with everybody.
Yeah,
you know, as much as Dusty may be a nice person, maybe they just don't click. Maybe they just don't have that type of relationship. And unfortunately, it's not always going to happen. And if that's the case and you're in a dressing room and they don't want to, they're not really like running up to hug you and talk to you, you just got to kind
of
deal with it.
And instead of being confrontational like the Vixen and just coming up and saying, I hate you, they're just going to kind of remove themselves from the situation.
Yeah.
Like the Vixen. At the reunion.
So one of the things I wanted to come back to, and I hope it's if that's okay now.
Yeah, this will be a little wrap up.
Do we think season 10 really reinvented and rejuvenated the show enough? Because I don't think it did.
I don't think there was any rejuvenation to it aside from the workroom.
Well, no, there were a few like challenges that were a novel or may hadn't done in so long. They were trotting it back out. There were like a few moments where I felt like they were trying to really do something new and different. But overall, I just felt like
this show, that was refurbished, not
new. And I agree. No,
and it was in some cases, because like the first challenge was the first challenge from season one.
Yes,
because they were trying to do a lot of those tiebacks to the first season.
Yeah,
and honestly, if they ever fucking do that ball at 11 again,
yeah,
I'm not fucking watching it. That was re-fucking ridiculous. 11 queens, 3 looks apiece. That episode never ended. I'm pretty sure they're still on that runway right now.
The hour and a half format, also probably too much.
No, I like that.
Okay.
That works for me.
Because you have more chance for them to breathe and have real moments. But
I think there's more opportunity to, A, bring back mini challenges,
which
was sorely missed from season 9.
Yes.
And then I actually did it a lot better with not making every episode be a very special episode.
Well,
oh my God.
Yeah.
100% agree with you on both of those. Because you didn't feel like it had a, like it was such a jump to this, jump to this, jump to this, jump to this, and be done with it. And you didn't have, I don't think there was any episode, even on the 11 girls in 3 looks ball, where it was the sneeze and you miss it runway.
Yeah.
Like we've had in the past.
Oh, yeah.
Because you had that extra 30 minutes, we'll say 30, but you know, like 20 minutes with commercials, to be able to put out this episode that feels like it breathes more. There were times where I'm like, oh, we have to be so close to the end right now, and we haven't, like, they're going to rush through this, and it's like, oh, no, we're only at the halfway point. Okay, cool. Like, you still have time to do the runway and do critiques and not have it feel like, oh, my God, this show is, like, racing to the finish line. I think the 90-minute episodes was probably one of the best things they did for this.
What about the Untucked format? Do we feel like that it successfully blended the classic Untucked shit-talking craziness with the little documentary, you know, oh, sad to see the queen go? I mean, not as much.
No. I mean, I kind of like the part where the queen goes in and packs up their belongings. Like that.
Yeah.
I like that addition
genuine.
To it. That it does. I miss the production level of the old Untucked, because if you're going to try to instigate this drama, I at least like it to be in a pretty setting, not on the side of the workroom. And then when Objects Furniture became the sponsor and they had a shoehorn saying Objects Furniture into the episodes, I was like, you're not being real anymore. Like, yeah. You have gone, like, yeah. You're now making this a thing.
This is the podcast now. You're shoehorning this thing in here.
I mean, it is what it is, but I do miss the Untucked Lounge. I do miss the Gold Room. I do miss the big pink furry box. I miss like those types of production things, but this is supposed to be the more real portion of it, and it is what it is. I'm glad to see it back on TV, so I don't have to worry about going on to YouTube, you know, the next day or whatever, however long afterwards, and watching it there.
Well, I feel like Season 10 overall was successful enough that there is probably going to be a lot of these changes going forward. But I do feel like they need to, if they want the show to continue for another 10 seasons, they need to do something else to reinvent this a bit. I don't see this.
They don't need to.
Well,
it would be nice to see it because, I mean, you look at some of these shows.
It could limp along, but
well, you see
America's
some of
Next Top Model was the same thing.
For 412 seasons?
I mean, eventually they brought in, like, guys into the mix and
yes, and every so often I could see them maybe doing a little bit of whatever, and that's what All Stars is giving us, is that little different, like breaking it up to not be the same thing season. But I think that I would love to see changes. I'm not trying to say that there shouldn't change it. I'm saying that you look at a show like Chopped, or you look at a show like Top Chef, or you look at these shows that do 15-20 seasons and don't really change their format much, that still continue on strong seasons. I would like to see them do more and make it fresh and different, whatever that change is, when it's Asia O'Hara's Drag Race.
Because
tell me you did not, after that butterfly incident, she got eliminated, and she was the only one that got eliminated. You bet your ass she was wishing she had gone back out there and slapped RuPaul. The only way that would have ended well would have been when she said, sashay away. And then Asia goes to the front and then walks back and just slaps RuPaul and then leaves the stage. I'd have been like, you said I could.
I know. That would have been brilliant.
I'd have been like, that $100,000 check isn't coming to me, so whatever. Mm-mm. So we would love to hear what you think of the season, of the finale, the reunion, any of the things that we've talked about, any of the speculation for season 11 or All-Stars 4, because I know there's a lot of speculation out there. There are some people that have been speculated to be on season 11 that I am looking forward to if they are actually on the show, and which gets me excited. It's always good when I may know somebody on the show and I think that they're an awesome queen that makes me want to watch. So my Redditing and YouTube speculation videos have gotten me excited for some of the potential queens for season 11. But let us know. Check us out on all of the social media platforms. You go to flameonshow.com. We have links to all of our social media sites there. Facebook, Instagram, Twitter, Tumblr, all of those types of things. So comment, send us messages. We love to hear from you guys. And remember, if you are enjoying us or any of the other shows on the Nerdy Show Network, please support us by going to patreon.com/nerdyshow and supporting the network that way. And if you are subscribing to our podcast on your favorite platform, be sure to leave us a star rating or review and tell your friends about us. Because I just met another person who just started listening to our show recently with our bicentennial episode.
Oh, wow.
When I was out at the Parliament House last night, he cuts BJ's hair. So he is a friend of one of our hosts. His name is Price.
And, he Facebook mentioned us as well.
Yes, he did.
And I was like, oh, I didn't know you listened.
Exactly. That was my exact reaction to it as well. So what up, Price? I don't know if you're listening to the drag episodes, but if you are, welcome to the podcast listening family. And one last quick reminder for our Orlando-based or Orlando-adjacent fans out there. On July 18th, and it feels even more especially appropriate on a Drags and New Spandex episode, Parliament House is hosting their annual employee turnabout, and I will be shaving my beard and getting cinched into a waist cincher corset and putting boobies on and hip pads and heels and a lovely coiffed wig and an amazing dress and the nails that I spent most of yesterday painting.
I'm still high from the fumes.
Oh, if you're not wearing nails, you're not doing drag. So I have 40 nails that I'm just going to wear on my 10 fingers. Just going to make them super long.
Oh, they could be like split off each angle kind of thing. Oh, yep.
Snicked. Mm-hmm. That's all I want. Nice. But I will be performing. It is, one more time, it is July 18th at 9 p.m. It's a $5 suggested donation at the door. And then bring your money to tip me and the other bitches that are going to get up there who are not drag queens. And maybe one or two of our cast that will come up there and do fill-in numbers as well. But all of that money is going to the Joy MCC Food Bank. So it's all for a good cause. And I think that about wraps up Season 10. Oral sends his best wishes to all of our listeners out there. He will be back with us very soon on another episode. But until then, dear listeners, Beast!
Beast.
Turning looks, stunting pretty. I'm the bitch from New York City. Playing at the parties, and I know that I am carrying. I might be an Aquarian, but
I am American.